closer, I'll be swallowing it. So here we go. All right. So we are primarily going to stay in Matthew this morning. We're going to start off in Matthew, the fifth chapter. And while you're getting there, Matthew 5, verse 19. And then after that, we're pretty much going to stay in the 25th chapter of Matthew. So, the theme for today is servanthood, being the least by choice. So, if you're there, the word says, whoever therefore breaks consistently one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches or encourages others, they will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Right off, God is starting to talk to us about the fact that there is least and great in his kingdom. There's both. Here's where we struggle. The desire to be great is built into every human being. You can't repent of the desire to be great because the great God has put it within you. The problem runs in how we have neglected God's way of being great or how we go about it. But to be great in his kingdom and to be rewarded is something that God has placed within us. The God who forms us knows that we are very much spurred on by rewards. And the reward that he gives to us comes as we prove faithful to him in the everyday as we go through life. Now, if you go over to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and verses 11 and 12. And here we see what greatness is, according to God. Matthew 23, 11 and 12. But he who is greatest among you will be your servant. And whoever exalts himself is going to be humbled. And the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I'm feeling better already, aren't you? This is just what we wanted. This is just what we needed. We want to be a servant. We want to prefer other people at all times, in all places, in all ways. Everybody with me? Here we go. This is working out great. The problem for the human experience is that I want to be noticed. I want to be heard. I want people to pay attention to me. Don't bump into my agenda. Why aren't you doing things my way? Don't you know that I know better? And all of those things run so contrary to God in the form of Jesus Christ, who is our great example. So God invites everybody. See, isn't it wonderful that God sees us all the same in that everybody is to be great in his kingdom? Everybody. It's the core teaching for the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, chapters 5, 6, and 7. As the months go by or whatever, I'm going to refer to that a lot because I see that as the constitution of the kingdom. It's the most comprehensive teaching that Jesus gave on this is how the kingdom runs. This is our part in it. There are eight things that we are worked towards to make them a part of our life. There are eight virtues that we need in our life. There are negatives that will destroy those. And then there are positives that help them to grow in us. And in this Sermon on the Mount, it makes it clear you can't repent for the desire to be great. It's just in seeking it the wrong way or neglecting to seek it the way Jesus did. Now, Jesus taught, and we just read, there's going to be a range of degrees of glory and greatness in this kingdom, those that are least and those that are greatest. And your reward is going to differ greatly from anybody else's because it's particular just for you. It has nothing to do with your neighbor. Look at your neighbor right now. Look at your neighbor. And tell them it has nothing to do with you. The reward and the greatness is found within you. It's been placed in you right now. Right now, it's there. And you know the other good thing about the rewards and the greatness of God is that it doesn't have anything to do with your talents, your ability. It doesn't have anything to do with the size of your ministry impact. It doesn't matter. God takes into no account a title, standing behind this piece of wood, sitting at that piece of wood, or having a microphone in front of you. What it has to do with, it does not have anything to do, your greatness, with size. It has to do with your inner man and the development of God in you, the hope of glory. That's what the level playing field is. Is your greatness is not dependent on a platform ministry or how long you've been a Christian or how least you've been a Christian. What it comes down to is it's the development of God within each one of us in meekness, preferring other people, and love of God, and listening to the Holy Spirit. All of us can enter into that because it completely takes away, okay, well, who's gone to Bible school? All right, well, who hasn't? All right, well, who's preached for years? All right, this is your first time. Okay, what a lovely voice. Don't ever listen to Chuck singing. It has nothing to do with those things. It has to do with the cultivation of God within you by the power of the Spirit. Isn't God good? Because it's all dependent on you and your relationship with your Father. Obedience in the least and in the small areas of life depicts a secret life in God. When you're at home and you're by yourself and you can do anything you want to do and no one's ever going to know what it is that you're doing, what do you do? What will you say? What will you think? That is the key indicator of your secret life with God. Because who does see? He does. He sees it all. There's nothing that he doesn't see. If he counts the hair on the head, and he sees the birds fall to the ground, and he knows our next thought, he knows everything about us. And so our opportunity to be able to just, in the quiet place, in the secret place, to say, God, oh God, I want to honor you. It has a tremendous impact on the greatness that's being stored up within us and the way that God sees us. Don't ever despise the small things in life, because from them, Zechariah 4:10, do not despise small things or beginnings, because from them grow the great things of life. It starts small. Unfortunately, most of us, we simply disregard obeying God in the small things, which is up here and this right here. I still want to think what I want, God. I still have my own thoughts about things. I'm saying it. Probably shouldn't, but I'm going to say it. And those are the small things that God really looks at and says, if you'll commit the mind and the tongue to me, those are the small areas that people disregard, saying, I'll do this and I'll do that, but I still want the opportunity to say and think what I want. And when he says, when you will turn that over to me and think my thoughts, and instead of cursing that person, bless them, you will be like your Father who is in heaven. Over 25 times in the Old Testament, God urged Israel to be careful to obey all of the commands. All. Not some, the few, the ones I like, but all. He says, obey all of my commands. So Jesus comes along, And in his teaching, he presents a completely new picture for what greatness is. See, we focus on being great in his sight rather than on the sight of men. Instead of thinking how other people perceive us, we should really be concerned about how God sees us. God, how do you see me right now? You know, am I being transformed to be more like you? Or do I still care what other people think, say, and do towards me? Because when I do that, friends, what I do is I set my sights so low. Because we're all in this together. We're not one above the other. We're all in this together. When I care so much what you think that it affects my walk with God, I have let you become my God. And that obviously is not the direction we want to go. We want to love and serve each other, but we want to keep our eyes on him because he's the one that is leading us along the path of life. So this greatness is developed in us in stages. So the greatness that we have is in stages. We find it now in our everyday when we don't despise the everyday. But the fullness of who you are going to be will be found in the age to come. You will be given a new name according to how God sees you. You will be elevated to a position that even the angels don't have. You will rule and reign with Jesus on this earth to see what life would have been like if Adam and Eve hadn't fallen. You will get to experience all of that, but not in this life. In this life, it will come in stages. And it's like a 70-year internship, getting us ready for the next life. Getting us ready for the next life. And in the things we're faithful with now, and the things that we're going to be faithful about now, it will bear great reward in the life to come. We're not convinced of that, but we need to be. It's based on the heart response, not on resources and natural ability, because then God would be unfair, right? Well, this one can play an instrument, but this one can't. This one can talk, public speak, this one can't, whatever. It's based on your heart response to God. That's all. So the opportunity for promotion in God's sight is available to everyone. But we have to pursue it in the right way, with meekness and servanthood. Meekness, friends, is not the doormat. Well, whatever you think, whatever you like, as long as you're going to like me at the end of the day, say whatever you want to. It's kind of like Eeyore. Okay. It's all right. And it's like, no, Jesus was the meekest man that ever walked the earth. But he was the strongest individual you would ever know. Meekness means, I understand I don't have. I understand that I'm in deep need of God to touch me at the most basic level of my life. That's meekness. I understand who needs to be in charge, and it can never be me again. It doesn't work well. And I understand that in being a servant like Jesus, that's the path to God's blessing and to his greatness. As I esteem and prefer you over myself. I've said this many times, not from up here, but I've said this many times to many of you. I will never be or live up to my potential the way I can without you. That will never happen in this life. Without you, I can't be me. That's how badly we need each other. So for me to prefer you means that not only do I love you, and not only do I accept you, but I have a great need to interact with you for what you bring to God's table because of the greatness that is found inside of you. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of you don't believe this. Some of you are sitting there going, I'm not sure about this. I'm telling you a fact from Scripture. You are great in his sight. I don't care what you think about yourself. I'm telling you what God says about you. You are Isaiah 54, Hephzibah. The Lord says Hephzibah to you. He delights in you. He delights in you. You are important and special to Him at the place that you are in your life right now. Well, I struggle. Well, don't we all? That's why we need a Savior. Well, if you knew what I had done, He knows it already and He accepts you. Accept Him. Let Him be what He wants to be in your life and in your heart. Because it will lead you through your days. It will give strength and step to you. It will give a spring to your step. It will enliven you. It will quicken you. It will bring joy to your heart, hope into your mind, peace that we all need. And that's what we really want in this life. So whoever desires to become great among you, let them be the servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let them be last. Isn't it freeing, friends, that when you know where you're going, and when you know that you're accepted for who you are, and when you know that the great God loves the little us, we don't have to be so concerned about ourselves. We don't have to keep wondering, does anybody really care about me, about my situation? Does anybody know what I'm really struggling with? Is anybody really concerned? When that's settled in your heart and mind, you can really look out instead of look way inward. You can really look out and say, how can I bless and help and be a part of someone else's life so that they find peace too? We can't do better than that. So Jesus taught on God's invitation for our greatness more than any other person in the Bible. He refers to this subject many times directly in His teaching and indirectly. We're called to put people first, gain treasure in heaven, which are souls, and we're going to receive rewards from the Father. So let's get a right view of authority in the life to come. Because it shapes our reward. It shapes how we're going to want to go after things. You do know that you're going to rule nations with Him, right? You're going to. He's already declared it. You're going to help Him in shaping what this next world is going to be like. Yeah, He's already said it. What's He thinking? Well, no. If we seek authority to gain honor before people, then that's our total reward. If I do something because I want you to notice and I want you to say something to me, and then that's my reward. That's all I'm getting. But if I do things just for the honor of God and just to say yes to Him, then there's a huge reward for that later. Because I haven't done it because I want to be noticed. I've done it because it's what He's asked me to do in obedience. We don't seek authority to be lord over others. I mean, if you talk to the elders, they would be the first ones to tell you that being in charge is not fun, easy, and it's not something to ever be sought after because it carries huge responsibility, and you can't be a leader in God's kingdom unless you're a servant first. So there really is no such thing as a leader. It's servant slash leader. That's the only type that Jesus accepts because that was Him. That's the way that He went about life. So our paradigm now is, what are you doing, God, so that I can plug into that, so that I can be a part of that, so that I can hear you and see what you're doing? So ask yourself this. When you see someone else, ask yourself, God, let me see this person the way that you see them. Let me see them the way that you do. And then how can I be of help to them? You might be shocked at what He would tell you as to how He sees a particular person. And God, in His deep love for you and me, is going to take me right probably to the first person that will happen, will be the person I may be at odds with. It may be the very person that bumps into my agenda all the time. It may be the very person that I just don't understand. I don't have much in common with, I don't do anything with. It could be the very person that I just don't mix well with. But if I'll sit and say, but Lord, how do you see them? I want to see them that way too. It's preferring the other people. It's the paradigm of authority to be where he's at and interacting with the people that he wants us to interact with. Well, do you remember the story of the rich young ruler? Jesus revealed that many that are first in gifting, in riches, in title, entitlement, they're going to be last in the age to come. And he also revealed that many that are last, that have no human resources, the dregs of society, that some of those that are last in prominence right now are going to be elevated to the highest parts of heaven in the age to come. There's a real problem with being first in this life, because the more things that we amass, and is there anything wrong with having things? No. It's just the proper focus of them. Is there anything wrong with having money? No. It's the proper place of it in our life. But the dilemma is that we become self-sufficient. I don't need help. I'm okay. I can do this myself. I don't need other people. And that's the inherent danger of being first in this life, because we can tend to forget, one, God, and two, our deep need to interact with other people. But we get distracted. If we will instead focus on the meekness of Christ in developing who God wants us to be, we will have the opportunity to be able to fully use everything that is at our disposal to really love God, to really love other people. Now, some people that are last in this life will be last in the life to come. Why? Anger, strife, anxiety, hatred. I honestly have known more people that don't have anything in this life, and all they do is think about what they don't have. And they envy other people. They go after other people. They try to manipulate other people. And they spend more time going off what they don't have than what they do have. And Jesus says, with what you have, honor me. Don't be concerned about what other people do or don't have. Be concerned about what I put inside of you. Because that is where your life to come starts. So God's way to seek greatness is being in a story. So here's our story. Matthew 25, we start in verse 14. A familiar story, Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another one, each according to their own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But the man who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. So the one who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 others, saying, Lord, you gave to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Stop right there for just a minute. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Jesus wants to partner with us in this life, in ministry. He has a direct joy in us being a part of his life and us being a part of his life in ministry. It's not like, well, I'm putting up with you. No, he has great joy in working with us. So he also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you gave to me 2 talents. And I have gained 2 more besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you the ruler over many things. Again, enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown. I was afraid and hid your talent in the ground. The Lord said, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. To everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. From him who does not have, even what he has is going to be taken away. Tough saying. Tough saying. Now, there's 2 parables here. The first parable in Matthew 25 focuses on the virgins, and it has to do with acquiring oil of intimacy. Remember that story? So your lamp doesn't go out in the day that God comes. The second one focuses on the need to be faithful, which is the one we just read. You cannot have a lifestyle of faithfulness without oil of intimacy. You will not be able to sustain faithfulness without being intimate with Jesus Christ. We have to continually have that oil working in our life of being with him in prayer, seeking him out, living a life that's pleasing to him so that it gets us through the difficult days to be faithful to him. And notice in this parable that Jesus delivered to each person just like he's delivering to you. He may give you 5. He may give you 2. He may give you 1. But he's going to give you according to your ability. Not according to your friend. Not according to your brother or sister. Not according to your husband or a wife. But according to your own ability, he is going to give you talents. But what he's more interested in is the use of our mind, our body, our emotion, our spirit, our ministry impact. The most valuable talents are in the inner man. What you think and how you act. What you think and how you act. The one with the 5 talents invested them, he received more. When you invest in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, you are investing in something that will grow. It'll grow within you. It will be God's way of encouraging you to go farther with him. And then as you show that to other people, and you help them to walk in, as you help other people to walk in joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit, you are enabling them to not just find God, but to walk farther with him. Everyone's been entrusted with a few things. Everybody. And again, you can say, not me. I don't have a talent. I don't have an ability. But you've been given a few things, and they will grow in time if you will work with them. But we need to see the value of faithfulness in little in the day of small beginnings, because if you think about it, over 99% of the church is getting small things in terms of your sphere of influence. Most people do not have great big ministries. They have very small groupings of people that they work with, that they know. Almost the whole church works with small beginnings. If we're faithful in those small beginnings, come up, you will receive more. If we choose not to, we stay where we're at, and it may be taken from us. We all want a well done at the end. A well done is the culmination of a life well lived by God and for God. Really, it can't be enough to just say, I just want to go to heaven. It really can't be enough to say, that's all I want. By the skin of the teeth, Do we have skin on our teeth? I don't know. That's pretty narrow. That's pretty narrow. I don't want it just the skin of the teeth. I want it to matter. Because it's all I have. I don't have anything else. I don't want to stand in front of God and be full of regrets. I don't want to. You know? I just don't want to. I want life to matter. I want your life to matter. I want our life to matter. Why? Because we're all going to be together forever. That's why. I don't want to just get by, because then I have nothing to offer to Him. I have nothing to lay at His feet and say, God, I took the little that You gave me, and I did everything I could to multiply it so it would make a difference in this life. It would make a difference. It would help me to know that I made a difference in one other person's life, if that's all. But to do something. And we're all called to this, friends. We're all called to this. To get that well done. That's what we want to hear at the end. And you're going to hear it at different times in your life. Before you see Him face to face, you're going to hear it at different times. Well, who's going to say it? You know what? I'll say it to you. When you've done something and it's been excellent, and you've done your best, which is excellent, I'm going to tell you, well done, brother. Well done, sister. Let's go beyond the minimum that we can walk a life that's blameless before God. Because out through these doors, there's such anxiety, it's giving people heart attacks. There's so much fear, it's causing people to go berserk. There's so much despair and anger that it's causing people to kill each other. They don't have any hope whatsoever. We do. And if we shine that light into other people's life, they can have hope too. What's your circle of influence this morning? Maybe it's probably where you work, or it could be your neighborhood, or it could be a little group that you get together with to have coffee, or it could be a golf course, or it could be the Walmart, or wherever it is. That's your circle of influence to shine light. God help us to walk in all that He has for us. God help us to understand who we are in Him. Let's set our heart to fully obey Him. To do good speaks of an intention and determination to do God's will in every area of our life. We're to set our heart to pursue good in the use of our time, our talents, our ministry, our soul, our spirit, our circumstances, even in the least. And you know, God takes account of our weakness. My weak prayers, He hears them. They never touch the ground. I don't understand it, but I thank Him for it. I don't understand how it goes that the great big God, who you look out here, and who turned these leaves? Who did that? Nobody I'm setting eyes on. But the great big God that's able to do that reaches all the way down and touches us at our heart level. He touches us at our heart level. And that great big God wants us to understand that He takes into account how weak we are. It's not that we don't fall. It's not that we don't fail. It's not that we're not weak. He knows us. He knows that we're just like dust. He already knows that. But He loves us because of our consistent effort to try. You're never going to get a better reward or a better return on your investment than Jesus Christ. Ever. You get a massive reward because you want to be like Him. Because you want to be like Him. I'll tell you right now, I'm nothing like Him. But I want to be. See? That's it. I want to be like Him. He honors that within us, because how many people want to be like Him? Yes. I don't want to talk about him. I don't want to talk about him. I want to be like him. And the only way I can do that is as I get close to him and I get close to you. Because that's how it happens in this life. And he's going to count it as a life of faithfulness and reward you for it. When you do good in trials and temptations and people not liking you and at your job and don't give up, you're going to win. You're going to win because every decision matters to God. Every decision you're making right now for the rest of this day matters to him. Every hour of this day for the rest of this day, it matters to him. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are you going to be about? It all matters to him. Because he's always looking at us. He's always asking. Are you here? Are you available? Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? Are you keeping note of me? Do you know I'm right here? Do you know I want to help you? Do you know that I want to enliven you? Do you know I want to quicken you? Do you know I want to bring healing into your life? I want to bring wholeness into your life. I want to bring joy and happiness and peace that the world can't give, but I want to give that to you. But we have to receive that. We have to say, yes, God. I just want to say, yes, God. So be diligent in your everyday. Endure temptation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life. Promised to those who love him. James 1:12. To be called a servant is the ultimate affirmation of being like Jesus. Ask for the grace to be a servant. So, we're going to exchange a few things for many in the life to come. God, right now, you see us the way we're going to be, not who we are right now. With all of our weaknesses and with all of our insecurities and our fears and our anxieties and all of our faithlessness, you call us Hephzibah because you delight in us. God, we receive that. We're not worthy of that. We don't really understand it. But there's so much of you that we don't understand. But God, we want to. Lord, we're not going to repent of wanting to be great in this life in your sight because we can't. You made us this way so that we would be like you. Lord, we repent of the times that we've tried to be noticed or wanted to be noticed or that we want to be great apart from you. Lord, our very being, our very heart beats because of you. Lord, you're leading us day by day into what you have for us. It looks different for all of us, Lord, which makes it very interesting. It makes it very nice when we interact with each other. God, help us to see each other the way that you see each one of us. Help us to live a life that, once again, all over again, it just says yes to you. A life that in the small things, what we think and what we say, that we're proving in the secret place that we love you. That one day, when we see you face to face, that we want to hear, well done. That we want to have something to offer to you. Something that will make a huge difference that we can't see now. God, you love us. God, your desire is for us. God, we repent that we don't believe you when you call us great in your sight. God, we need a new mind. We need a renewed mind. Not to think more highly of ourselves, but to really serve each other because we're great. To really know that this is the path that you choose for us because it's the path your son took. That God, we will never, ever be sorry for having lived a life that puts other people first. Jesus, enlighten us. Quicken our spirits. Lead us. Help us. Amen. I don't normally follow these, but there was just so much that I wanted to go over and I didn't want to miss anything. God is good. God is good all the time. And there's no one like Him. No one. He is someone to be imitated. He is our exceeding great reward. What are we doing now?
There's this awesome song by Sidewalk Prophets called "I Want to Live Like That."
Okay.
I mean, it would be nice to finish with that.
That'd be great.